We live in a time where identity is constantly contested. People are named and renamed, either by culture, by history, by struggle, by geography, by politics. We are told who we are, or people see who we are, by where we stand, by whom we support or even oppose, by how we look, how big or small our eyes are. And so our world is deeply polarized and painfully scattered. But the real question is, who are we really? What is our true identity? And the letter of 1 Peter speaks exactly into such a context. The recipients or the audience of this letter were a people who were not necessarily comfortable, secure, and settled, or even socially powerful. They were a people who were scattered all over. He calls them strangers, scattered all over. Marginal people, people misunderstood and often under pressure and persecuted. Yet into that reality, to those people, Peter speaks about identity. Peter speaks about formation. And this identity is not rooted in human categories or geographies. This identity is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is because of the resurrection. I think the resurrection made a profound impact in Peter's life and in Peter's view. It surely did. This one who was just a fisherman, a job that didn't have any profile or status, just a fisherman, now speaks boldly about identity in this manner because of the resurrection, the impact that the resurrection had on him. You see, the resurrection is not simply the vindication of Jesus, as I said. It is rather an inauguration of a new reality into which believers are drawn. And in that new reality, we are given a new identity. And so, Peter, who are we really? Who are we really? Peter begins with a striking image, connecting us to Christ. He says, "Come to him, a living stone." Christ is the living stone. And now he speaks to us and to the first audience. "And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house." So Christ is the living stone. And then Peter says, we too are living stones, and we ought to let ourselves be built into a spiritual house. Christ is the living stone, rejected by the world, yet chosen by God and precious in God's sight. And because Christ is risen, and because Christ lives, we too are living stones. We are living stones. See this. We are stones, not alive on their own, but their life comes from being joined to Christ. So Peter begins with an invitation. Come to him, the living stones. The living stone, and then says, like living stones, let yourself be built. So joined in Jesus Christ, the stones become alive. This means our identity is not self-made. This means our identity is not in accordance to the categories that the world gives. This identity is received, and this identity is in Christ. And more so, this identity is communal. It's about community. Let yourselves be built into a house. Now, a house is not made of one stone. So this is communal. It is only when stones are brought together, shaped and held in relation to one another, that something new is formed, a building. This made me to think, actually, of two things. There are those who sometimes get tired of being in community, the struggles of being in community, you know? Because actually, if we have a choice, we could say, no, Lord, as a living stone and you are busy building up a spiritual house, place me there in the front. That's what we would like to do. But we're not building ourselves. We are being built. And sometimes in being built, it requires patience. It requires shifting. It requires accommodating others. And that is quite very, very difficult. And so there are people who find that difficulty in the life of community. And guess what they do? They say, no, I can pray on my own. I can worship on my own. God will hear me. But they don't know what God is busy doing. God is busy building a spiritual house, which requires what? Community. Requires community. That's what Peter is saying. This is hard work, but it is resurrection work. It is work of hope. Work of hope. And so we come to him who is the living stone, and we too become living stones, a building. The second thing that it reminded me of, and then I move, is how we hold these spaces, this building, precious. How we honor these buildings of ours. We do. And the church becomes the building. But Peter does not point us to any building like this. He points us to ourselves and says, we are living stones being built. Being built. So we are the living stones. And what we should hold dear, even more precious than this space, is our relationship and how we shift to accommodate one another and how we are placed by God as those living stones being built into this spiritual house. It's us, not the building. Then the other identity marker, who are we really, Peter? Peter then says, you are a royal priesthood. My word, that was bold. I think that was bold. You are a royal priesthood. That's a profound shift. In the ancient world, priests were a select few. They came from that tribe of the Levites. And so now just imagine as a Levite, you hear Gentiles scattered all over are now have become a royal priesthood. The Levites are out of their job. they have no more work, actually. You are a royal priesthood. Because now our identity is in Christ, the risen Savior, who is given to all believers. And we too, in the Methodist Church, we speak of the priesthood of all believers. The priesthood of all believers, not just myself. To be a priest is to stand in relationship between God and the world. It is to carry the presence of God into broken spaces. It is to bring the cries of the world before God. You don't have to wait for a person with a tiny little collar like this one to present the cries of the world before God. You are a royal priesthood. You are a royal priesthood. Because of the resurrection. That was bold. Imagine Peter, a Jew, telling Gentiles scattered all over, they are a royal priesthood. Just leave that to your own imagination and yourself to just think how bold and incredible that was. That's the identity that we have. A royal priesthood does not deepen division. A royal priesthood mediates healing. And so for these scattered people to be told they are a royal priesthood, it elevated them in their function. It elevated who they are. You are not just a people displaced and living in the periphery, in the margins of the world. Actually, you are significant. You are entrusted with a sacred work of God. Your life matters. Your presence, your compassion, your faithfulness becomes a spiritual offering. You are a royal priesthood. Royal priesthood. And so, that's who you are. The other identity, I also think it is very, very bold for Peter to say. And again, see it as a Jew telling Gentiles scattered all over and saying to them, you are a holy nation, a chosen race. Scandalous, I think, for a Jew to say that. Quite scandalous. You are a holy nation. And this is not about geography. It is not about belonging. You see, the world we live in, we know clearly. We can even see in South Africa, we can tell a difference between a Chinese and an Italian. We can tell that difference just by looking. Because that geography and where we are, how we speak, and how we look, we then define ourselves that way. But now, through the resurrection, because the Lord is risen, that is dismantled. We are a holy nation, one people, holy nation. Not because of where we live, but because of the invitation, come to the living stone, because of the invitation to the one who is risen. And so, in a world where nations are often defined by borders, by power, and by exclusion, Peter redefines nationhood in Christ. Nationhood in Christ. A holy nation is a people who are joined together in Christ. And so, yes, indeed, the children of the DR Congo are part of this holy nation. the children of South Sudan are part of this holy nation. The children of Palestine are part of this holy nation. We, together with all of them, are part of this holy nation. How dare then do we defile this nation by saying who's supposed to live and who is not supposed to live? How dare then do we defile this holy nation by saying who's supposed to have, who's supposed to beg? You are a holy nation. Your ultimate allegiance is not to the powers and politics and politicians of this world. It is to the living stone, the one to whom you have been invited to. Come to the living stone. That's where your allegiance is. So indeed, Peter was bold. Peter was bold. But not him only. Paul says it differently. Paul says, in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither Greek nor Scythian. That's how Paul puts it. And Peter says, we are a holy nation. Don't defile that nation. But that identity, this identity is not just a being about identity. It is purposeful. It has a purpose. This is how Peter puts it. So that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous or glorious light. You may proclaim the mighty acts. This identity leads us to mission. We are not a holy nation to be comfortable and privileged. We have a purpose, and that purpose is to proclaim the mighty acts. We proclaim when we tell the world that Jesus lives, and therefore life matters. In a world that is so obsessed about killing and death, then we proclaim the mighty acts of God. We proclaim the mighty acts when we live as people of living hope in a world of despair, when we practice unity in a culture of division, when we extend grace. And this is especially urgent in our time. It is needed for us to live as this holy nation, purposeful, holy nation. This is how resurrection is made known. When we tell, when we proclaim, when we embody. Proclaiming is not just in words, it is in an embodiment. When we embody the one who is risen. Did you hear him in the gospel? Don't you know me, Philip? If you know me, you know the Father. That community, that oneness. You know him. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father, that oneness. But when people see us, who do they see? Do they see Christ? Who are we one with? We are invited to come to him, the living stone. And so we should embody the living stone and become living stones ourselves. At work, who do they see? A very strong boss? Or a living stone that is invited to Christ. In your community, in your neighborhood, whom do they see when they look at you, when they hear you? We are living stones being built. And so, this is who we are in the resurrected Christ. Living stones built together into God's dwelling. A royal priesthood called to mediate grace. A holy nation formed as an alternative community. A purposeful people sent to proclaim God's transforming love. That's who we are in the resurrection. Let not the politics of the world define us any other way, nor the pressures of this world. Let us be faithful to our identity as living stones, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, to the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. Indeed, dear Lord, we thank you that you build us and continue to build us as a spiritual building. You call us to be a royal priesthood. You form us to be a holy nation. We heed the invitation to come to the living stone that the world rejected, yet precious in your sight. Continue to build us, to equip us as a royal priesthood, and to form us as a holy nation. For the sake of your glory and your kingdom. Amen.